What was that?
I know, right?
Was that my joint? Hit me. Yeah, I be getting my rock and roll on like Beyonce get her country on.
Right.
Y'all don't know nothing about that. This is Capital City Podcast. I'm your host, Capital J, alongside my main man,
DL Glass.
And we're in the building tonight. Now, we had talked about all the things having to do with hip-hop and going out, concerts, clubs, radio. We have not talked about security.
Ooh.
Hey, you wouldn't even go to some of these places if it were not for those three big dudes standing at the door and all around the club.
Absolutely. And if you've been, you've been patted down.
Right. So we have a true security connoisseur, legend, a security. I don't even know the name. I don't want to use bouncer. Bouncer is just for dudes that stand at the door and beat you up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But once you really get out there and start doing your thing, you are truly security. Security is a step up. Bouncer, you earned the title security.
Yes, sir.
Anybody can be a bouncer.
Yes, sir.
Security is different.
And this episode is different.
This episode is different.
And special.
It's special.
Because we all about first.
Yep. We got our first in-house guest. Everybody else been phoning in, but we got in-house right now. Security of the decade. Eugene Cunningham. Y'all give it up for the man.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
What's going on, man?
Not much, man. I'm not secured in a decade at all. I'm just a guy trying to survive in this game.
And he's humble.
Humble.
For sure. You gotta be, man. All the guys I came up under, man, they put me in place to win. I always had a vision of what I wanted to do when I got in the game. I was, you know, doing clubs or whatever. I was the first club I worked at, the Corner Bar. You know, I don't know if you know where that is on at UNCG's campus. It's like right off the campus. It's called the Corner Bar.
I know where the Corner Bar is.
Yeah, a dude named Wes. He used to drive the bus when I was in high school. He was like, I don't know. I kept in touch with him after high school. He was like, hey, man, you want to work security? I was like, yeah, cool. I was in college and thinking about what I wanted to do with my life. And I was like, well, I want to make some extra money. So I would go over there for $50 every Thursday night and work the door at the Corner Bar. I don't know if it's still there, but yeah, it was like, this was like,
yeah, that's over there, like, to the, like, if you're looking at the, what was it, the Canoco or whatever, that gas station across from Joker's.
Yeah,
it's right over there to the left.
Yeah.
If you're staring at the gas station across from Joker's, the spot he's talking about, if you're in Greensboro, the Corner Bar. Well, look, you jump right in. Here's what we do. Every time we have a guest, you know, the guest, if we bring a guest in, the show is about you.
Yeah.
And what you do. I know, but when we bring people in, we want other people to get an idea of how to get involved in the game, how you got started. So this man has gone from doing security in the clubs and random stuff like that to traveling the country with major artists. And so, you know, he got an interesting story, and he can explain to you how he got involved. So maybe if that's the avenue you want to take, here's somebody who can tell you how they did it. So we always start at the beginning. So we're going to start at the beginning. You already started telling us how you ended up, you know, what was the foot in the door. The foot in the door was the Corner Bar. So, Eugene, talk to us. How did you get your start in the security business?
Okay, so after I did the Corner Bar for like a year, I started like, okay, I want more money. They were only paying me like $50 a night to work this club. And I had no idea there was more money in the business. If you go to different places and work different places, I go to, where did I go next? I think it was Montego Bay I went to next. No. It was a place called, I'm so sorry, guys.
Screaming Parrot?
This is beside Montego Bay, but it's like next, Orion's.
Club Orion's, all right, yeah.
So I went there, and I saw a guy working outside, and I was like, you guys need security? He was like, yeah, listen, I forget his name, but he said, yeah, come on. So I came and worked there, and it was like for $60 a night or something like that. And okay. I was working inside or whatever, and I did that. And then there was this club up the street called Montego Bay.
Yeah, Montego Bay. Anybody that spent a little time in Greensboro during that time period, which is early 2000s, mid 2000s, Montego Bay was a Jamaican restaurant / club.
Okay. The best wings, what's his name? Vinny? Hey. Vinny used to make the wings. Now, if you go in the back, it was dirty. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But the wings was old time.
I just told my son that dirty hands make the best season.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It was the best wings you ever had in your life. But if you look back, you'd be like, oh, man, why the hell am I eating this shit?
You good?
Okay. And so every Sunday night, it was the Bay on Sunday. Right, and I would be working this club Orion's down the street, and it would be cars everywhere, and spilling over to our parking lot. We had to like beef up security for our club or whatever. And I was like, oh, what's going on over there? And I go down, and I already knew Wally Coyote, okay. And but I didn't know him like that. He was real cool, my brother. He went to high school, my brother. Okay. So I would introduce myself. And Wally, he was like, oh, yeah, man, I know she. My brother named Rashid Wally. I know Rashid. Yeah, we used to play football and all this. And then we got connected. Okay. And I started working at Montego Bay doing security. And I still was making like 50, 60 bucks a night. And then I started DJing.
DJ security. Well,
I would open up for Jay Flex. He would let me run for like an hour, and it got to the point where he wouldn't tell me. Like he used to at the beginning, he would like put the songs on, and I would just bring it in or whatever. And then it got to the point he was like, "Man, just you got them rocking. Go ahead, keep going." And my mind would be like blank.
Boy, put you on the spot now.
I'm like, what the hell am I gonna play next? Like, right. And, you know, we got through that, and then I met this young man named T Love. He used to DJ up there on Sundays as well.
Yeah, we had T Love on the podcast a few weeks ago. You know, mm-hmm. The episode should be out for people to listen to. Yeah, T Love,
that's my guy. I used to always ask him because he used to always talk about being on the road and DJing all across the world. I mean, I'm about to go to Dubai. I'm about to be in Amsterdam tomorrow and all this. I'm like, well, how I get on? Well, man, you about 10 years out, what he used to tell me. I was like, man, damn, 10 years out.
Yeah.
You know, but in my mind, I was always like, look, I want to be a bodyguard. Mm-hmm. So I really dropped out of college. I was at A&T partying and hit the books every now and then, but then I would like just be bullshitting, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, well, my only way to make some real money is to start bodyguarding. I was a big dude, you know, I had a good mind on me. And he was like, he would always tell me, he was like, well, you want to be a bodyguard, you need to meet this dude named Sean Bonner.
Right. Right. And T Love brought him up too. Yeah. Sean Bonner was bodyguarding for Total and put T Love on.
Word. Mm-hmm. Right. And when I came around, he was still bodyguarding for Timbaland.
Okay.
Right. So after me always asking T Love how I get on, he was like, well, you gotta meet this dude named Sean Bonner. And eventually he introduced me to Sean. And Sean, it was like he was serious about this bodyguard game.
Oh, he's serious.
It'd be like, hey, you gotta come train. Mm-hmm. You want to come work? You going to work these gigs? It was a lot of free stuff. I used to do. I paid my dues in this gig. T Love will tell you, man. Hey Gene, he'll call me at like 11 o'clock. I need to be in Atlanta at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Right?
Can you take me?
Right.
It wasn't no question. Yes, sir. I'm on the way. You know what I'm saying? I'll pick you up. No problem. Not knowing how I was gonna pay for the gas. Not none of that. You know.
Right.
It was just I just wanted to be a bodyguard. Mm-hmm. And so Sean, we trained, and then Sean put me on with this gig at I don't know if you guys remember off Random and Road. It was this big boxing. They used to always have boxing out there.
Yeah, that was
the venue, I believe.
Yeah, I'm trying. I can't remember my man's name. He used to do it. Oh, golly. Okay, go ahead. I know what you're talking about, though. I can't remember the dude's name right now.
What was the training like?
The training was like we would just work out, and then we would go box. You know what I'm saying? So it was a way of getting you tough and getting you confident.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, one time I was like, man, damn. Talking to Sean, I wish I was like 6'6", 6'7". He's like, Gene, what? He's like, man, it don't matter how tall you are. It matter what's in your mind. You know what I'm saying? And how you present yourself. That matters. Big don't mean nothing in this game. You know what I'm saying? And he really got my confidence up. I was already taught, you know, my mom, whatever. You'll be confident when you walk in the room. But he actually elevated it when. You know, when you walk in the room, you look at everybody, yes sir, no sir. You know, you be respectful. You know what I'm saying? You keep your mouth shut and you do the job that what we here to do. And so that was part of the training. So along with the hard skills, the soft skills. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Let me stop saying. You know what I'm saying, man. I'm gonna go hear this.
I already took that out of my vocabulary.
My mama hears this. She's gonna be like, why was you saying, you know what I'm saying all the time?
Hey, I've been through that the first whole year. I was, you know what I'm saying, every.
It was quick side note. I was at my wedding and I had some gum in my mouth.
Oh no.
And I was dancing. It was the first dance or whatever. And I happened to walk by my mama and she looked at me. She said, why you got that gum in your mouth?
And she pulled a napkin out.
She was like, stop chewing. You know?
Right.
That's my mama for you. But so the soft skills, you know, he helped me out a lot with that. You know?
How to deal with people.
Correct. Yeah. I don't know how to approach the job, I guess. I don't know.
I guess that helped you diffuse a situation without having to use your hands.
For sure.
Just professionalism itself, right?
For sure. Like, when I walk in, you'll know. Like, when I'm with my client or clients or whatever, when I'm there, it's like people know. You know, they know, he's with somebody.
That's
or,
the guy.
Yeah, or they who is that? With the walking with him. And it'd be a lot of time I walk with my boys and they'd be like, who is he? You know, he's just a regular dude. You know? But this is the way I carry myself, you know what I'm saying? So,
right.
So actually,
you said it again.
You know what I'm saying? this is, please forgive me. You know what I'm saying? I gotta get rid of that.
Hey, you can, you know what I'm saying all you want to.
Yeah.
As long as I don't do it.
In my mind, I keep hearing, like, to my, why you keep saying that?
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah.
But
we know what you're saying.
Absolutely.
So I met Sean. We did. He trained me. He put me on this club called The Venue.
Mm-hmm.
And it was paying me $250 a night.
Oh wow!
Upgrade,
big jump.
What
is there?
I was like, this is. But the only thing about it was we had to be there. Like he was like, Gene, you gotta get here at 6 o'clock, and we had to work all the way to 3 o'clock in the morning, whenever they ended.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that, and it was my first gig making like real money. Mm-hmm. It was once a week, $250 on Thursday. I was like, man. We, you know, got, and it was still around the time when money was good. You know, $250 was all right. You know,
yeah, right.
It wasn't like $250 was like chump change. It was some good money.
Mm-hmm.
Gas was probably like a dollar and a half, something like that. Around that,
yeah, time. It was some DJs not making $250 for nice work.
Oh wow, yeah. I didn't know that. I thought y'all was getting paid.
Not everybody,
right?
I wasn't leaving the house $250. But I'm just saying.
this was like 2005.
Nah, okay. I wasn't even house for $250. But
if you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, Capital J is a legend.
Here we go.
Here we go.
If you don't know.
Here we go.
So, how me and Capital J met.
Uh-huh.
Well, I think we already knew each other, like, just in passing or whatever. But my wife was like, we're going to go hang out with my friend Sharifa and her husband. I'm like, man, Yeah. I don't want to meet nobody new. I was like, all right, man. I really was protesting. I was like, you know, because you know, yeah. you're like, you gotta. Yeah.
I know exactly how it is.
Yeah. She tried to, like, we kids or something. You gotta
play date. Yeah.
Yeah. I gotta go be friendly with these dudes.
While my wife had fun with her bestie. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then when I saw him, I said, "Bitch, hold on." Because she was like, Jerome. And I was like, hold on. Do you understand who your husband is?
Yeah, right.
This guy's a living legend.
Right.
You know, this is capital J. D capital J.
I appreciate y'all. But the show's about Eugene.
Right. It's
a part of the story,
all
though.
Right. Yeah. All right.
I came up listening to you and Buster Brown and all that, you know.
Right.
I used to call in the show.
And Jay Flex.
You know,
me and Flex.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was it? Hooked on Ebonics.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I used to call and play that. But all right, cool. So we talked about the venue. I worked at for like a whatever, however long it was running. It was running. Them boys was it was a crew from UNCG, I believe, throwing the party. My bad, guys.
Are you good?
A crew from USCG throwing the party, and they had a great turnout every time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started expanding to other clubs, and I worked. I didn't do any bodyguarding yet. I was still working clubs, but I was doing more than just being a dude. You know, just a body. If a star came in, I was holding the VIP down. A lot of what I see now of guys that want to get on doing, I was doing. And one night, I was working a parking lot at the Inn Club. I'm not the Inn Club, the Club 9.
Okay.
What about Argato's? I don't
yeah, 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 yeah.
But I was working a club right there, and I was outside, and a real big dude pulls up, and he was like, "What's up, man?" I was like, "What's up?" He was like, "What's your name?" I was like, "Eugene." I was like, "Who are you?" The guy named Cortez Martin. I don't know if you guys remember.
I remember that name.
Cortez Martin. He bodyguarded Fantasia from her beginning to, you know, for about 15, 20 years or whatever it was.
Okay.
And I got in good with him, and I started training with him, working out, but he would actually take me on to gigs to it would be paying dues, it'd be free.
Mm-hmm.
I would whatever he needed, you know. Hey, I got to go to Charlotte, catch a flight. I'm taking him to Charlotte.
Right.
Not asking for gas money, not figuring out maybe he would give me $20, maybe he wouldn't. It is what it is, you know. And I did that for a while. So now I'm paying dues for Sean, T-Love, mm-hmm. and Cortez. But these are three guys you need to know in my area.
Right.
To elevate
the game.
They can
put you places.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And it would be guys coming around or whatever, which would work out, and they would just give up. But in my mind, I was like, man, if they don't put me on, somebody else will put me on.
Right.
You know, it's more than just them.
Network.
And that's what Sean Bonner taught me. He said, always network. Right? When you go to these places, make sure you talking to everybody. You never know who you're going to meet, who you're going to talk to. Get everybody's number. You might need them, you know. And to this day, I can go on my phone. If somebody call me, hey, man, you know somebody with such and such. Hey, you got any plug with that? I might not, but, you know. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people pay for the call, you know. You know, somebody asks you for something, like, hey, I need a number on something. Hey,
I think T-Love mentioned that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, T-Love is and T-Love's going to get his 10%.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Hey, Gene, I'm putting this together. I just make sure everything clear.
Yeah.
I want my 10%, you know.
Yeah.
I don't care who it come from.
Okay.
But make sure you know. So, Sean taught me to network. Cortez taught me to, you know, how to be, what we need to do, how to move. And everybody always said, keep your mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
keep your mouth shut, and the man who does the most will be around the longest.
Okay.
Which means if a bag needs to be taken somewhere,
right,
take the bag. You know, I get in this game, and a lot of bodyguards hit you with the, I don't do that.
Right.
You know, I don't.
You make yourself a jack of all trades.
For sure. So my motto, in my mind is, if we make this guy look good, we working for, we going to work long, right. You know. We going to work longer. And if something need to be done and I can do it, I'm going to do it, you know. If you need me to go do whatever, if it's within keeping you safe and I can go do it, I'll go do it. There's no ego. I got no ego in this game. And right. A lot of guys have egos, and it's a situation, you know.
Yeah.
So Cortez put me on a couple of gigs. He one night we in Jabs, and a young man comes in there, and he didn't have any security. And we were like, I was like, look, man, we should probably go holler at him because, you know, he ain't got security. This could materialize into something. And he was just, the dude was just in there. And Cortez was like, all right, cool, let's go holler at him. We went to go holler at him. Turns out, dude needed, they had just fired the security a week ago, and they needed a guy.
Right.
So they wanted Cortez. So Cortez would go, and whenever they were close, Cortez would call me and say, Gene, come help me out. So I would come work for free.
Who is that dude?
Pleasure P.
All right. Pleasure P from, what's the name of the group?
Pretty Ricky.
There
but the only reason Pretty I mentioned Ricky, him is because that's my brother. That's okay. I worked for him for 16 years. Like, I still work for him to this day, but 16 years strong, me and him been working.
Right.
So he would go out with him, and then when he couldn't go, I would go. And eventually it got so where he was so busy with Fantasia that he couldn't go. So he put me on with the job. Mm-hmm. But let me back up. My first on the road gig was Tasia needed her dog to Chicago. So I got the job. I was on the job,
baby. Took Fantasia's dog to Chicago. Yeah. Okay. That's a hell of a foot in the door right there.
Yeah. What's up? I was out there. I was happy, man. It was like my first week on ever doing anything outside of Greensboro.
What kind of dog was it, though?
It was a small
one. It was a small one.
It was a small white dog. It wasn't no big dog.
Okay.
And, so I did that. But yeah, so he got on him, and then after a while, I got on with him with Pleasure P, and it was like, that was history, you know what I'm saying? And
right.
I was with him forever. Like that was my guy. And the crazy part about it is that it's a million people in this world that want a bodyguard. I used to, like, not always, but like later on, like 10 years in or whatever it was, I would ask P, I was like, why'd you choose me, bro?
Yeah.
He was like, man, you was a good dude, man. I just, you know.
They want to be around somebody.
Yeah.
They, like, your bodyguard is going to be around you all the time.
For sure.
So
for sure.
It's not just, can you stop me from getting attacked? It's also, do I want you around me?
For sure.
All the time. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Do I want you to know my secrets? Do I want you to know, you know, just everything about you? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Right.
And that's where, like, a lot of guys get wrong. You know, they start talking a lot, and but it's also discretion.
On that, on a side note, I want you to pause your story for a minute. I got two things I want to ask you about. One, what do you think about a person like Gene Deal out here serving up secrets?
Yeah, I think it's crazy. I think it's like, bro, you doing the job. Why? You know what I'm saying? It's none of your business. You know what I'm saying? Whatever my client does, it's none of my business.
Yeah.
I'm here to protect you.
Right.
You know, why?
Right.
So you would never divulge anybody's personal business.
And I only think he's doing it because he don't want a bodyguard anymore. He wants to sell books.
He hasn't in a long time.
Yeah. Right. But bro, like, these people trust you. It'd be like you telling on your best friend, you know.
Right.
You know, cuz we get close, you know. I mean, not, you know, across on the line, but we get close with these people. These people tell us, talk,
Right.
Right.
Freely. With among, you know, like right. I listen. I don't indulge with whatever they're saying. You know, mm-hmm. I listen if they telling me some stuff. I just listen.
Cause it's like having your big cousin with
you. Yeah, you just there to be an ear sometimes, but and for you to break that trust, mm-hmm. regardless of whatever he's doing or whatever he did.
Right.
You didn't say nothing then when mm-hmm. it happened.
Right.
You know, and you obviously was cool with it.
Right.
Until you stop working for the person.
Yes.
Like, wow. Like, what are you doing, man?
Right.
Right.
What
right.
kind of man are you? Like, you know, you can't be trusted.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
So I don't like that.
My second question before we get out of the club portion of this story.
I got one too about the club thing.
Right, right. Tell us some of the stuff you encounter. Like, you know, a lot of people want to know what it's like to be the dude at the door or the one of the security in the club because you run into some crazy situations.
For sure.
What's some of the stuff that you know, it's not always just chilling the whole night. For you sure. know, sometimes For sure. it goes down. You know what I mean?
I got to add on to his question because we have often talked about the change in music. Uh-huh. Like music went from dancing to now is I'll kill you.
For sure.
And with you, your line of work, you've seen the other side of actually viewing the change in music. Like, to piggyback off his question, answer that too. Like, when you saw the change in music, I know the environment changed.
Sure. So, it's the music's always been crazy. You know what I'm saying? Before, like, right after knowledgeable hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if that's the word.
The conscious era.
Yeah, conscious.
Right.
Yeah. So after that, and they started getting into, you know, to tear the club up and all that, it's always been rowdy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Once it goes from the R&B, you know, R&B sort of hip hop to, you know, the upbeat R&B to the Teta Club, you know, what do you call it? What,
Pastor Troy and 3-6 Mafia and David Banner.
Yeah, you knew once that started playing that mm-hmm. it might be a situation.
Okay.
And get on alert.
As
a DJ, when I would, if I would drop No More Playing GA, Teta Club up. Nugget, if you bug, and security would look over me like, man, why you do that? They always had this look on their face. They might flash the light at me. That little flashlight, they flash over at the DJ booth.
Ladies and gentlemen, Capital J was definitely a part of the problem.
Hey, I'm just trying to get them crunk. Y'all get them de-crunk after I crunk them up.
Yeah. Man, this is art, baby. We going to paint a picture, and this is the part of the picture that, you know, That causes, you know, a little ruckus.
Yeah, so tell us what is the process for shutting that down? Like, this is what it looks like from the DJ booth. Everything's going one way. I dropped that No More Playing GA. And everybody start, you see them getting hype, and all of a sudden the girls start disappearing from the dance floor, and the dudes just start gathering up.
So,
okay, tell me, what's the process?
We
used to, like, get down there in it and be ready for whatever.
Oh, so you get closer to...
No, we'd be like, you know, we wouldn't defuse it. We'd just be like, all right, what y'all about to do? And whatever y'all about to do, we gonna toss you out, you know?
Right.
Okay. If y'all want to get rowdy or whatever. But now, I don't, you know.
Yeah.
I ain't trying to twist my ankle or nothing like that. Right. We trying to get in and get out. You know, I probably work, like, 3 hours a night now. If we're going to a club, I'm going in, do my little visual, make sure we good to go.
Yeah, but you were the artist, though.
But back then,
I'm talking about, how do you?
Oh, we was ready to go.
So a fight breaks out. What do you do?
We going to grab whomever's in the fight, and we going to toss them out.
So mm-hmm. so it's you, do you coordinate with everybody? Because, you know, it's usually they already, like they everybody know. Got it's a like, station, kind of.
It's like. You know, referees, you know, everybody know. You know, basketball, they know how to rotate and whatever. That's how we were doing it. You know, hey, you grab him, we going.
Right. And straight out the door.
Straight out the door. If we got to open the door with the head, that's how it's going down.
Yeah.
Right.
Why y'all got to be so rough?
Which is crazy, because now when I think about it, we could have got sued. It would have been a situation for everybody, you know.
Yeah.
We could have went to jail. It was, man, it's been times I thank my lucky stars I didn't get in trouble mm-hmm. for doing crazy stuff, you know. Because, and I feel bad. Like, why were we acting like that? You know, we didn't right. have to do that.
Yeah.
You know? It's a way to, now that I know better, you yeah. know, we didn't have to be so rough.
Was it
know?
The power?
That might have been it, you know. Yeah. We was young, you know.
Yeah.
We was just like the guys jumping around. That music right. got us hype.
Right.
You know? And that got us real hype. You know, everybody was, we wasn't drinking, but we were young, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was your drink. Yeah, the music was your drink.
Exactly, yeah, for sure. Right. So
that's why I love hip hop, man.
Yeah, boy.
It'll take
yeah.
you through it, won't it?
Yes, sir.
Up and down.
I tried it with every other genre of music, man. Oh, but it doesn't nothing work. Makes me feel this way, man.
For sure.
Yeah,
nothing. For sure.
Yeah. And I don't know.
It's one song out of genre that gets me hyped like hip hop, man.
What's that?
Heads Will Roll. Mm. The 8-track remix.
Mm.
Yes, that song gets me going.
I don't even know what you're talking
about. You know what I'm saying? That, man, it was on the Project X soundtrack. Heads will roll. I'm like, oh.
Is that heavy metal?
No, it's straight up like house techno electronic. Mm. You Project know what I'm saying?
You talking about the, when they had the
from the Project the X movie. Right, right. Oh, yeah, man, that was yeah. That song right there, boy.
You know, it's a true story.
Yeah, it's based. Yeah, because yeah. Mm-hmm. Cat down in Australia mm-hmm. had a party like that. For right? sure.
Yeah, that's wild, man.
Mm.
So, yeah. What was your question?
Well, I was just asking from your vantage point about the change in music and how the club scene changed.
Okay, so we went from. I don't know if it changed, man. It just went from a different style of music. So we went from understanding everybody to. Mm-hmm. Not understanding everybody.
To grimy. Know? And then in the early 2000s, we was in the snap era.
For sure.
Yeah.
So it got happy a little
It was friendly. Right. It know? Was friendly it for was a friendly. Second.
Yeah.
And it got, you know, so it got rough. Then it got friendly. Got rough again. And then it really got rough.
Right.
Right.
You know, so now everybody killing and all that, man. And
yes, sir.
Anybody ever pull a gun on you? Like, after you put somebody out of the club, you ever had to deal with any... anybody come back and be like, I'm gonna take care of them dudes put me out of the club.
One time, but it wasn't like that. I don't think they had a gun. You know, they right. just came pulling up real fast, and I didn't like it. I had my gun.
Right, right.
And I'm smart, so I tend to think before I do anything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I don't. I mean, I'm not. I don't. I try not to make rash decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So. It's really got to be going bad for me to pull my weapon.
Okay.
You know, so I've been in scuffles with my weapon on my hip. Never pulled it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And but I don't. I mean, that was so long ago.
Right.
A
right.
Dude pulled up. I said, don't get out the car. Something like that. I forgot what I said. And they were, you know, they were just talking. They got and they left. So it was cool.
Right.
And so this is relating to, because your level of power, some would compare it to a police officer.
For sure.
And what would you equate that to, you knowing not to pull your weapon versus just pulling your weapon to defuse a situation?
So just like I tell police, y'all watched the Andy Griffin Show, right? Back in the day, right?
And Born to Fight didn't have no bullets.
Right. But you, right. But you understood Andy and Barney, right? Mm-hmm. Andy, you know.
If he had bullets, he would have been a problem.
Well, no, Barney. No, that's not what I, well, yeah, Barney for sure. Yeah. But Andy was sensible, you right. know. So, all right, you know, go ahead and, you know, talk to the kids or whatever, talk to whomever. Hey, you know, just go on about your way. But Barney was like.
Yeah.
Hey,
no, I ain't got to nip it in the butt.
Yeah, nip, right.
nip it in the butt.
Yeah. Barney was like, first job, you stepped over the line.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And
don't gotta, be Barney Fife.
Don't be Barney Fife.
And that's a perfect representation bro, of police.
Bro, I tell them all the time. I like, look, man, we talk. I be like, be like Andy, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, sometimes I got a cop friend and he, and sometimes he, like we will be going back and forth. But he you know, he's sensible. He'll say, look, if a guy, like he stop a guy and they got like bad tags or whatever.
Right.
And he goes up and asks him, say, look, man, what's up? you know, you were speeding or you missed or whatever. And he said, do you have any warrants or mm-hmm. do you have any, you know, anything going on?
Right.
If the guy tells me, cool, you know, say, okay, cool.
Right.
Hold tight. Because once, so what he said was, once I put
say that part again, that hold tight. That's my thing, because they ever hit the car and say, sit tight, buddy, I'll be right back.
Yeah. Well, what he's doing is making sure you ain't got nothing bad, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, because I think it's something he got, if he put something in the system, mm-hmm. he got to do what he got to do.
Right.
But if you go ahead and tell, hey, look, man, I got my license suspended.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm coming home from work. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He could be like, all right,
just
know
go home.
Saying? Look, go yeah. home. You know what I'm saying? Because right. once he put his name in, if you lie and say, yeah, I'm good, and right. he put his name in the system and it stayed in, he got to do it because it go back to base.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just all about how you treat people. You know what I'm saying? And,
right.
and the way I treat people is I talk to you. You know what I'm saying? Until, mm-hmm. until I see you, okay, he not listening.
Right.
You know? Like I had a situation the other day. I don't know if I shouldn't talk about it. Wait,
you don't gotta mention no names, but you know,
it was a guy came on stage, mm-hmm. and I told him, "Hey, look, man, my client doesn't want anybody on stage. He was just putting some flowers
mm-hmm.
and a drink on stage.
Okay,
simple,
mm-hmm.
not a big deal." To my client, it's a big deal.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
So that supersedes whatever the fuck you talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
And I don't work I work for.
Exactly. I know right. it's not a big deal. It's not.
Right.
You come up, put the shit down and leave.
Mm-hmm.
But my client don't want nobody on stage.
Right.
That's right. the end of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
This guy does it. He does it one time. We had it, you know, second time he does it, I'm like, yo, what the fuck?
Right.
Now I'm mad.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost pushed him off the stage.
Right.
But
right.
I didn't push him off the stage. I should have pushed him off. A lot of guys I know would have pushed him off the stage, but I didn't push mm-hmm. him off the stage. So it's just simple shit that we go through. We went off on a tangent just now.
It all relates. You know what I'm yeah. saying? And now that we're off the tangent, we get back to we were at Fantasia and the dog.
Oh,
and we're moving. Right. See, I'm keeping yeah. mental notes. You so know
I,
what I'm saying?
I did that. That was a simple task. And I didn't say when I met Wally. But I got back. Oh, we had already got past that. We got past when I met my client, Pleasure P.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
And
Pleasure P, 16 years.
16 right. years, yeah.
It's a long time.
That's a real good.
How do you go from how do you branch out from your original client, like that's your main so, client, to other clients?
So that's tough because okay. you don't want to make your client, because these guys, you know, I'm not gonna say he's jealous mm-hmm. or whatever, but how I do it is I go to my client and say, hey, I got a gig that I can do.
Mm-hmm.
Are you cool with that? What's he going to say? He ain't going to say no.
Right.
He's a man. He ain't going to stop another man from work, especially if we ain't doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. But I give him the respect. And a lot of guys don't do that. A lot of guys
just move on.
Just go do whatever they want to do.
Right. But
I don't want to burn any bridges. So mm-hmm. I go to him, hey, sir, you cool with me? Yeah. Go ahead. Cool. Mm-hmm. We ain't doing nothing. Yeah. I ain't going to stop you from making no bread.
Right.
That's how you do it, you know. But so, or you could do it the other way, but then once that other situation that you don't really know goes away,
you don't have anything.
And you try to come back to him or her or whoever.
Right.
You know, he got a bad taste in his mouth, you know, from you just jumping ship.
Right.
You know, artists are fickle, man.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So what was your first gig outside of Pleasure P? What was the first?
I really didn't have any. I worked for him for 15, 16 years.
Oh, okay. So you branched out after the Pleasure yeah. P train kind of mm-hmm. came yeah, to a stop.
I really can't talk about my new gig right there. I'm sorry.
Oh, all right.
yeah.
Oh, you can't mention no names.
At all.
No. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What about anything prior to that? Can you mention any?
Oh, I worked for Snooty Wild. Y'all don't remember Snooty
yeah.
Wild?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah, yo. Oh, I know. Yeah,
man, that was Bro.
It was different.
That
was different.
That probably offers some different challenges.
For sure.
Yeah, you're different venues. Sure. This is not.
Bro, I called P. I said, bro, man. Because we were working. P was working, but we wasn't, like, working like that. So I called him and said, hey, bro, man, this is crazy. Like, I don't know. I worked for that guy for, like, a month.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah, it was crazy, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. So that summed up my question about the change in music.
Yeah. You're going from Pleasure P to Snooty Wild.
Right.
But my first client, I forgot to tell you, my fault, was Rich Boy.
Oh.
Throw some D's on it.
Yeah. Yeah, Rich Boy was a character. I remember talking with Arnold Taylor about him back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I used to strong arm security him. Whenever he was in town, I'd show up.
Right.
And I'd be like, yo, I'm working.
Yeah, because you need it.
And you got a baby.
Yeah.
I worked for Soulja Boy when he first was like doing, I don't know, he did some club in Burlington. My man called me, what's his name? Oh, man. I can't think of his name. But anyway.
Well, Van X was.
Nah, it was Rob.
Real Ma.
Rob Thorne.
Okay.
Do you know him? I don't know.
I know that name. I know that name.
So anyway, he was like, "Hey, Gene, I got this kid. He needs security tonight." I was like, "All right, well, who is he?" He's a kid named Soulja Boy. I was like, "Soulja Boy, I never heard of him."
Mm-hmm.
When I tell you, I went to this club, and it was packed for like teenagers,
right?
And every word he was saying,
every word
they knew it.
Absolutely.
Yep. That's how I found out about Soulja Boy. I DJed a teen party. And they came up like, "You got that Soulja Boy?" So I'm thinking to myself, "Soulja Boy, you talking about the dude that they used to be with Master P in there?"
Right.
You remember?
Yeah.
I was like, why they want to hear Soulja Boy? You know?
Yeah, you're right. That sounds like somebody came from that No Limit.
Yeah, they had a dude named Soulja Boy on No Limit Records.
For
So I thought Soulja Boy was that Soulja Boy.
So I'm like, they had an actual dude named Soulja Boy on No Limit Records.
Master P had come and gone by then.
Yeah, right. So I'm just like, what? Why? Yeah. Why are they so interested in Soulja Boy? You know?
Yeah. He wasn't even the main character.
He wasn't. But I found out real fast.
Oh, bro.
Yeah.
I said, man, they know every word to this kid. And the dance, he had a dance. He had a funny look. I said, man. This is a movement. So I worked for him for like a couple of shows.
Mm-hmm.
We did. We went. I think we went from Greensboro, did a Durham and like Norfolk or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Worked with him, and this was before I really started Body Garden.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember Rich Boy whenever he would come anywhere in North Carolina, I was his guy.
Yeah,
and. But no, it wasn't because he was calling me. It was because I'd find out he had a show in like Kingston. And I'd be like, okay, I'm going out to Kingston.
Yeah, nice trip.
Show up. Hey, y'all, you owe me. At the time, I was like, you owe me $250. I wonder what their conversation used to be like. Guys just be showing up, getting paid.
But he was unscathed.
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
And I was like, man, why they didn't put me on? And then I got on, and I used to see their manager out, like, in L.A. or whatever. I'd be working. Like, yeah, I got on.
Yeah.
You thought I was just some dude.
You know? Yeah, you ain't some dude.
Right.
You ain't some dude.
I finally got on, man. And, man, with P, I saw the world with that guy, man. We worked, and I don't know what else you want to know about.
And this was like in that. When you first started working with him, it was like in the height of Pretty Ricky.
No, this was after Pretty Ricky. This was the height of his career. So
okay.
I got with him right before he did, right after he dropped Boyfriend Number 2, which was after Did You Wrong. Mm-hmm. I got with him in between that. And I remember the day, his manager, I was like, so what are we doing next week? I had been with him like every weekend. Mm-hmm. For like 2 weeks, and I was like, "So what's next? You know, what y'all got next weekend?" He said, "We got wherever we got to go." I said, "So who y'all got?" He said, "You are a guy.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
I said, all right. You know, I held it together. But when that man walked away, I was smiling near the ear. I was like, I got to be a client. Because you got to imagine in this game, man, 1 million people want to do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I think God, the universe, every day that I get to do what I do. You know what I'm saying? Because it's, man, I don't take it for granted. And the guys that come up to me and ask me for pointers or ask me for my number, I talk to them. I don't I got a lot of guys when I came up, you know, were snobby, you know, and didn't give me the time of day, you should bring everybody with you. You know what I'm saying? If you can,
right?
You know, I don't have jobs like that, but
mm-hmm.
I may need a guy in Alabama. Mm-hmm. One day, you know, so that I can't do that I know a guy, you know,
right?
Certain stuff like that, you know. So I just, I was smiling ear to ear when he told me that. Boy, I was gone.
Yeah,
you couldn't tell me nothing. I was gone. I was going from Thursday through Sunday. I was working.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And
right.
We was getting it. It was somewhere. So I saw the world. Man, it was a time.
So tell me, what's what if somebody's coming in the game and they're going from and they get a client, what do you ask from, like, money wise? What do you ask for?
Okay, so now like back then I was getting like $300 a day,
mm-hmm.
which is I guess back then was all right, but now it's, man, we ask for like $850 a day,
mm-hmm.
depending on the client. So it also depends on that. So if it's like a new client, I got friends to be like, I don't give a damn who it is. It's $850. You know what I'm saying? But for me, it's like, I understand if this guy only making $200 a day, I mean $2,000 a day, he can't pay you. Yeah, he can't pay you no $800.
Somebody who's coming up, mm-hmm. you
for sure. But what I also will tell him that, okay, so then you get you a guy that can grow with you. You know, mm-hmm. like a security guy that can grow with you. I know security guys that can grow with you. They would be glad to take $300 a day, you know. But also, you want a thorough guy, you know, and a thorough guy's cost.
Right.
So coming in the game, what I would do would be actually link with somebody like me or, you know, a bodyguard or whatever. Get with management. Get with local talent. In your area, mm-hmm. and learn the trade. So like learn how to move. You know,
mm-hmm.
learn how to the soft skills. You know, network with people. Network with the local radio guys. Network with the local clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Club owners. You know, when you see somebody that's got something going for themselves, you know. You know, when they got a little bit of money, help them out. You know, walk them from the parking lot to the front door. You mm-hmm. know, stuff like that. But to get in the game, it's all about, for me, it's all about, a guy asked me the other day, what I got to do? I said, man, you got to be smart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have a good mind about you. You know, it ain't about being big. It ain't about being a brute. You know, that's back in the day. You know, it's not that no more. It's about being smart.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's the soft skills to me, really, you know, learning that. Also, you can go to bodyguard class. You got Icon. I got that's a bodyguard in school.
Mm-hmm.
I got another guy, my best friend. He CB, Executive Protection.
Mm-hmm.
He has a school that you can go to for beginners, learning again. He does it all over the United States. It's a couple of other guys. You could just Google them or whatever to look them up. And it's just is there anything else you can do to get into the game? It's networking, man. Networking. As long as people know you, that's how you get on.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
Meeting different people and just knowing, stay professional.
Mm-hmm.
That's the toughest part because I got clients that'll be like, hey, have a drink. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I won't do it.
Right.
You know, we'll be off. Hey, right. We off. Let's have a drink.
Yeah. No. Yeah, but you're still responsible.
Yeah. Yeah, because right. if something go down, oh man, you was drinking, man.
Right, right. right. Yeah. You sitting over there like this, like yeah. you getting rolled yeah. up.
Gee. You know, but we all, baby.
I done started drinking, you on your own.
Yeah. Ain't gonna be none of that, brother. I ain't gonna read it. Gene, such and such bodyguard was drinking on the job. That's how they got messed up.
Nah. Well, how do you turn it on and off? Like, because, you know, you mentioned your wife. Mm-hmm. Like, you out with an artist versus being out with your wife.
So, that's a good question. So, I get anxiety when I'm out.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm like, so if we're at, like, a mall,
mm-hmm.
like, Christmas time, right?
Yeah.
For one, I don't like the shop.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. When we just out. And I just know, I know for my security, how much stuff can go wrong. You right. know what I mean? And I'm just thinking about, okay, if the, you know, I'm just looking at everybody. This is not a good, I'm like, baby, I'm not going to be pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
Just go shop. And I'll see you when you get back. Just, right. I can't do it. You know, I'll sit in the car. But I just, how do I turn it on and off? I don't know. I don't get it, but I don't get anxiety when I'm working. You know? I guess, I don't know, man. But I just don't like to be in a lot of crowds when I'm not working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I don't like being, I like to move in and out. I don't know, man. It's a tough question. I get anxiety. So I use how to cut it on and off.
Mm-hmm.
When I come home, I don't do anything. I just chill.
Okay. You
know? And, yeah. I think it affects her a little bit, my wife. Mm-hmm. Because she wants to go out and party and all that, and I don't like doing that. I like to go someplace and chill. Because like
you find go. Yourself automatically in protection mode.
For sure.
Right.
For sure.
Having DJs so long, like, my wife and his wife are friends. For sure. They got similar personality types. They like to be in the middle yes. of the crowd.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
And it drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because, yeah. you know, like, DJ, I've seen the same thing he's seen. Yeah.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
And I like taking one of those positions in a crowded space that where I can see everything.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, because
yeah.
cause you're used to how fast things can go haywire and sideways. So yep. I like to be in a place, you know, I even park my car.
Like, far off.
Not far off. I get where I can run straight to my car, hop in, and drive away.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't never park in the back of a parking lot. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just always thinking,
right?
Easy exit. You know, yep. something goes down. This is a safe place to be. I yep. try to be in that place the whole night.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if it goes down, everybody's over here. Then I got this little area that I can hold down.
For sure.
So right. yeah. And I've been out with both of them, and me and Gene sit over there just like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Looking man. Around. So, yeah, I know how hard it is.
Man, I don't know, man. I remember one night me and Yolanda was in the club downtown. And for some reason, you know how guys walk. You know, we all guys, right? So
yeah.
when we were younger or whatever, you know how you walk through the club. It's a girl right there. You try to walk. You put your jug on her ass or whatever.
Right.
So I'm standing here, and my wife is right here. It's a little space.
Right.
And this dude tries to walk through automatically. I'm like, hold on.
Right.
Walk around, bro.
Yeah.
You're not about.
Yeah, you're bodyguard mode.
Yeah. So he walks away, and I see him talking to his boys. Mm-hmm. It looked like it's about to be a situation. It's a door behind me, and I'm like, yo, Yolanda, we about to go out this door right here.
Right.
Like right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Not that I'm running away. It's that I know everything that can go wrong.
Right.
She can get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I can get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, I can hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a wise man always said, look, if it's about to be a fight, I'm going to get out. I'm going to run away.
Right.
It's not that I'm weak.
Yeah. Right.
But I just know everything that can go wrong.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So, and unless I'm on the wall, mm-hmm. you know, and then I have to engage.
Right.
I'm going to hurt you.
Right.
But I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a whole lot of variables that can go, you know. So we got out of there. She was like, what's going on? I was like, it was nothing. I just ready to go.
Right.
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 And she was like, them guys was tall. I was like, yeah. I told him, you know, come on, bro. Don't do me like that. You're not going to disrespect me in front of my wife. Man. Come on. We can't have
right.
that.
Right.
I can't have her thinking that she ain't safe.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, so how do I turn it off? I just don't go out.
Right.
If I go somewhere, it's a cigar lounge or someplace, a lounge. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm chilling. Well, it's going to be some adults. What I mean, and I don't even mean like age-wise. I mean like
adult mentality.
Who got stuff to lose. I'll hang on with them.
Now, before you got into this game, were you that person? And the reason why I ask, because I don't dance. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like dancing in a crowded room full of people takes away from my presence. And I've been out with a friend of mine, and he's probably 5'5", maybe 130, 140 pounds. And he turned to me one night. We were at A&T homecoming party. And he said, why you don't never got to tell somebody that don't bump into you? Because it's the aura that I put out.
For sure.
Don't come this way with the bull.
For sure.
And
you're a pretty big guy, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but, you know, I don't smile a lot, know, especially when there's a lot of people around. But I think in part because of my PTSD.
Word.
You know, I've been through a lot growing up that presents me this way now.
For sure.
And I often wonder because, you know, I'll have side conversations. If I do go out, I'll find the security guy or the bouncer or whatever and start conversation with him. Because I know if I build this rapport with him, he's going to make sure I'm good. Because in this area, he's going to make sure he's good.
For sure.
And I often wonder that, though.
For sure.
Yeah.
So I do dance. Yeah. But you'll know when I'm comfortable because I'll be chilling. You know, if I'm around friends and I know it's an environment where I can, you know, chill out, then that's cool. But if I'm at Auntie's homecoming, I might be bobbing my head, but I'm looking.
Right.
Right. You know what I'm saying? And I don't drink too much. If I'm around friends, but if I'm out with we doing something in this, I don't drink like that. I'll have a drink, but it won't be to where I don't have my faculties. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, yeah, that's how I combat that, you know. Mm-hmm. If I'm with friends, we good.
Right.
And I don't have no anxiety. When I'm with my brothers, you know, and friends or whatever, I'm chill.
Right.
But when I'm by myself or if I'm just with my wife, that's a different. I'm like the guard dog.
Right.
You know, looking around, watching, you know what I'm saying? And I watch all the time. I'm on the bus going to get the car at the airport, and everybody's down in their phone. You know, I'm like, I guess I'm on security.
Yeah.
Right. If it go down, who going to say, hey, look out, you know? Yeah. So I'm just always observant of all that, you know, people not paying attention.
Right.
You know, I just
somebody start talking loud. It's like, I see that immediately.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
I remove myself in them situations. I don't want to be. I don't want to be the guy with holding the phone.
Right.
And, you know, I'm that's not me.
What's your future like? Where are you going with this?
That's a good question, man. That's a real good question. I don't know. I don't know, man. I own a couple of trucks. I do wanna do other stuff, you know. But I love bodyguarding. I love traveling. You know, I really want to get to a place where I can send guys out and then have them work and I get paid.
Right.
Right. that's a nice place to be.
And then I just travel with my wife. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And with my friends or whatever, but. That's the future, man. I'm 40. I'll be 40 this year, so I just want to get to a place where I can make money and stay home.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That's the goal to everybody. Make money and stay home.
Yeah.
Because I really don't like working I like working for myself. You know what I'm saying? I don't like being told what to do.
Yeah.
Right.
And, I think I work better alone. I like to be alone too.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I don't know what's the plan.
Yeah.
The plan is to take care of my wife.
Right.
You know, make sure she's happy.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever I got to do that, that's what I'm doing. You
know? Well, I see your phone jumping over
That's
there.
Her. That's her calling.
Okay. Yeah.
We should put her on.
Yeah, she got stories too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, because, I'm not going to divulge too much information, but you know, your wife is in the entertainment industry for sure. As well.
I think it works, yeah. I think it's crazy, man, it's, how lucky we are to be in show business, man. I tell her all the time, say, you know, you're lucky to do what you do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a million people want to do what you do, and you're doing it, you know.
Right.
So let's not take it for granted. Let's build, let's network, you know, whatever's next, let's get it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, we don't want to get too deep into it, but we can shout out the business, though. What's the name of the boutique she got over there at Triangle Town?
Like a Model Boutique, the Lamb Life. Beauty bar, boutique and beauty bar.
Okay,
it's in Triangle Town Center.
Okay,
and you can come on. Won't you come on down? Right there beside Saks.
Yeah,
Saks or the Macy's.
I think it's the Macy's.
Macy's. They're right there. Yep. The Macy's next to Macy's.
Dope.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm out of town a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, she got a nice boutique. They got her sister has a salon in the back. She has the boutique in the front. They also do. I believe eyebrows. It's a young lady that does the eyebrows and that type of stuff, makeup or whatever it is. But they, yeah, it's pretty successful, man.
Yeah, and she's a celebrity stylist, so
also. Right, so, a real one.
Yeah,
like yeah, yeah she's really.
No, I was.
Yeah,
just
she really does this.
Know,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot of people say that, but
yeah, she works for the Food Network.
Yeah,
and she's on the road a lot as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it works. That's why it works. You know what I'm saying? Because you remember back in the day, our grandparents were together for like 70 years because granddaddy went to work all day and have the phone. You know,
right?
He didn't see you till you got in. So I think that's what it is. We don't see each other that much. We see each other a lot, but we also apart a lot. And it works when we get back together. It's real good. You know?
Yeah, you miss each other.
Yeah, for sure. Right. So yeah, man. But she's wonderful. As a stylist, wonderful as a boutique owner, us being entrepreneurs, it's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, without divulging names, what are some of the crazier situations that you know? I know that you've been in, but you can also prepare somebody who want to get in the game. What's some of the, you know, it's not always just standing around. You know what I'm saying?
I ain't been in really no crazy situation.
But that's a good thing.
You had beat somebody's ass. That's what you're trying to ask.
Never. I always see it coming. I've been fired for not fighting.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, a couple of times. But my job is not to fight. My job is to get my client safely from A to B.
Right, so you're not going to be out here.
Never.
Was your client fighting or was it a fight?
Well, somebody was trying him or whatever, you know, and he felt disrespected, so he wanted to. I was like, nah, man, we leaving.
Right.
He wants you to step up, like, yo, we getting ready to beat this dude down.
Yeah, he said, I did get in a fight, actually, as a matter of fact, when I first started out.
Mm-hmm.
we were in, it was like in the Northeast somewhere, like Connecticut. I think it was Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, my client would call females up on the stage because he would sing to them.
Mm-hmm.
And this one female, I guess the young man, she had a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't like it.
Oh, right.
So the guy, he was singing, and the guy threw a drink up on stage. Man, why did he do that?
Trey Songz.
No, it wasn't Mr. Steal Your Girl.
Yeah.
but man, it was when I was young, so I wouldn't do that now. But back then, it was I was still fresh out the club. I was fresh, you know.
So he paid for tossing that drink.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then when we came out the club, our tires were flat on the vehicle.
Oh,
and tell me this, how would you handle that now? So somebody throw a drink on stage at your client, like, you know,
I just
concert or something like that. You can't take that dude all the way outside because you leave your client.
For sure.
How do you handle that?
For sure. That was one thing. It was bad of me to do that because
you left him unattended.
Well, he was helping out, anybody could have hit him at the time. You know what I'm saying? It could have been bad. It could have been all bad.
Right.
But it didn't go down that way. But it could have been all bad. But now I would just grab my client and we would go.
Right. Okay.
When it gives me out, the night is over.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And we going back to the hotel or where we coming from. You know what I'm saying?
Right. The smart way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of male clients wouldn't like that. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, nah, we staying, you know.
Yeah.
So, but my other clients, they pretty cool with that shit. You
know? Right.
Yeah. Lady clients are like, hey, they throwing drinks.
Yeah, let's
Gene, get me out of here.
Let's go. And that's one thing I had to realize because I used to always work for men and females want to go.
Right.
You know, as soon as something going bad, they out.
Right.
And the dude want to.
You would stay, hey, man, we finishing the show, baby.
Street cred.
Right.
We not going nowhere.
Yeah, we ain't going to have nobody show, saying they ran me off stage.
We, look out, man. We about to finish this show. I'm like, oh, man, this, bro, it's going down.
Yeah, so now you got to be here till the end of the night. And you got to get this person safely to the car, safely to wherever they staying.
Right.
You on alert for the rest of the time, really, because you in somebody else's city.
Yeah, so zero, but I've had zero incidents. Any client. Zero.
Hey, well,
that's dope. Yeah.
Hey,
that's dope.
Zero incident.
Yeah.
But, I'd rather get fired than have my client hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I've had it situation. Be like, man, look, Gene, if we don't go in here and fight this dude, you fired. All right, well, that's what it is, bro. We going to the hotel.
Right.
You know, next one they get up, oh, man, I'm, you know.
I was tripping.
Yeah, I was tripping.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's all good, baby. And also, in this game, if you want to get in, you can't have no ego.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting with highly volatile, rich, young people.
Right.
That don't, never seen nothing, done nothing. You know what I'm saying? They just rich and on the go.
Mm-hmm.
And they see movies where the clients act crazy. You know what I mean? Act disrespectful to people.
Right.
I mean, you have the conversation, hey, look, you know, I'm a grown man, please don't speak to me that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that ain't nipped in the bud.
Right.
You know, but a lot of times something happens, you can't have no ego, you know.
Right.
You gotta do something, not nothing crazy, mm-hmm. but you just might have to do something that you feel is not what you want
in your job description.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, grab a bag, you know, open a door, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You just gotta do it. You can't have no ego.
I think today or yesterday, one of the high profile artists got caught with a gun.
Oh, yeah.
And this is like the second time he's been caught with a gun.
That's...
And me, as a consumer of music, the first thing I said was, he's not spending his money in the right place.
For sure.
Because why the hell does he even have a gun?
For sure.
So when you hear stuff like that, being on the other side, what goes through your mind?
I got the text message this morning about that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I said, man, he gotta have security around him. Well, why?
Right.
What is why?
Right.
Why for all right, for one, even if he don't have security, I'm your homeboy.
Mm-hmm.
You the man making the money for everybody. You keeping everybody alive. You keeping everybody at home alive.
Right.
And when I mean alive, I mean you paying the bills.
Mm-hmm.
You paying me. You paying all the homeboys. You're our way out of the bad situation.
Right.
Why don't I come to you and say, hey, man, let me have that gun.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Regardless of we, and I know you a felon. I know you're not supposed to have it.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Right.
Right.
Why aren't the people around him saying,
right,
you know, hey, bro, don't take the picture with the gun.
Right.
It's not, because I saw a picture with him on that, he ain't no belt on. It just was a whole situation.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, right. Bro, why? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why, bro? Why?
I don't get it.
You always protect the cash. Listen, everybody, protect the cash cow. The guy that's getting us out the hood.
Right.
Because everybody, that's another ego situation.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to look like the guy. I work with a guy, his homeboys wouldn't pour him a drink.
Hmm.
But you on the road with us.
Right.
You know, for free. You know.
Because they knew him before.
Yeah, he knew him. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't work for you, no.
Right.
Right.
But if we make this guy look good.
Right.
It's a whole situation, bro. It's all about the look.
Mm-hmm.
You make your client look. We don't just do security. I make sure my client look like a star.
Right.
I try, you know.
Right.
Right.
So it's just a whole, it's a whole persona. Even if we ain't making that money, we need to act like it, mm-hmm. you know, and everybody need to be on the same page.
Right.
And a lot of guys can't do that. They be like, man, I ain't pouring no drinks. I ain't, man, it's on him. He got the gun.
Right.
He know better. Mm-hmm. Has anybody came to him and be like, man, look, I got you, bro. We with you. Right. I got the gun. And why are we even in situations that we getting pulled over by the police?
Absolutely. Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you want to smoke weed, it got a whole headline, a whole tour.
Mm-hmm.
So that means he made the most money on the tour.
Right.
I'm safe to say about $100,000 a show.
Mm-hmm.
If maybe more.
More, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you got enough money to have 5 security or have your homeboys, hey, look, I want all y'all to go take the concealed weapons class.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then there's a bodyguarding class. Go take that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You don't gotta be my bodyguards. I just want you guys, everybody, to have knowledge. Let's go do it together.
Right.
Take a week. It's a day course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a 2-day course. You go take the beginner course, and then you go take the advanced course.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take the beginner course, you get a concealed weapons license, which mm-hmm. is reciprocal. I don't know where he's from. He's from Florida. Right?
So,
where if he's from Florida, yeah. It's reciprocal in like 38 states.
Oh, wow.
You got enough money to be like, all right, look, I want you to.
This artist we talking about is not one of your clients, right?
Negative. No.
All right, well, who we talking about? Go ahead,
speak. Oh, Rod Wave.
Okay.
So,
Rod Wave is so big, he sold out Red Hat downtown Raleigh, and nobody knew about the show except his fans.
So then you'd be like, all right, well, look, we want to go to California because a lot of people can't carry in California.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to California. Get certified out in California. Let's go to New York.
Yeah.
Talk to the police in New York because you got to go talk to the chief of police or something like that in New York City.
To be able to carry.
The laws are different in New York City like than Chicago. In New York State. Go to right. Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You got the money to do it.
Yep.
To where you ain't, and you can put your homeboys on, just like LeBron put his homeboy on.
Right.
You know, who's the gentleman out of, that plays quarterback for
Jalen Hurts.
Him,
yeah.
Also, Baltimore,
yeah.
Put their people on to do these things.
Yes,
right.
Bro, you got the money.
Yeah.
What happens is you got, I hate to say it, young ignorant people around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That don't elevate. You know, like right. Snoop Dogg told. I don't know who he talked to, but he was like, "Look, you gonna be up here, man. You can't come back down here."
Nipsey.
Yeah, exactly.
And look what happened.
He said, your guys got to come up here with you.
Right.
And if they can't come up here with you.
Leave them.
Leave them.
You got to.
Bro.
You got to.
Bro. Yeah, that's
first thing
true.
I want to say to the guy, hey, look, I'm good to carry a gun.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to carry the gun.
Right.
You got felonies.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you get caught with that, all this is over.
Right.
Now he locked up. Ain't nobody making no money.
Stupid.
Why ain't nobody bailed him out?
Right.
Or maybe, I don't know, he might can't get out because he's a felon or whatever.
Probably, yeah.
But I'm sure he got some kind of bond.
And the label ain't did nothing. Because if the labels were like the labels you were talking about back in the day, he should have had the education.
They don't develop people
fully
like they used to do.
Yeah. Right.
Any other clients you want to tell us about, like that you didn't mention, people that you want to just say, hey, you know,
My wife would be here. She'd be like, tell him about such and such.
I know she would.
But my thing is, if I don't like officially, like, I'm with the guy.
Yeah.
You know, I worked with all the rappers from 2000 to like, you know, Young Jock, Dave Dro. What's his name? Dro?
Young Dro.
Young
yeah.
Dro.
Yeah.
Wow.
I worked for Young Buck. A couple of times.
So you used to be at the Puff parties back in the day.
No, I never attended a Puffy party. Never.
Okay.
But at the same time, if I had, you would know. Because I don't talk about stuff that shouldn't be talked
this
about.
Is Gene Cunningham, not Gene Deal.
It's none of my business what my clients do. Nothing. All I do is protect.
So we had a episode recently about how not to get got.
Mm-hmm.
In your line of work, how do you protect yourself so you're not waiting till the end of the night to get paid and then somebody say, well, I can't pay you?
That's a good question because we have these conversations a lot.
Yeah.
Why? You first of all, promoters,
mm-hmm.
you know how much you owe,
right?
You got 10 guys, you know you got to pay security for 10 guys.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you wait till 4 o'clock in the morning to pay these guys. Hey, oh, we gotta count the money.
I blame y'all.
Because,
like I told Cap, for you to get on my calendar, because I do photography, videography, and producing, for you to get on my calendar is half. Before the night begins, or that. Before the event begins, the remaining balance is due. If you can't pay the remaining balance at the start, I can't work.
I could dig that.
And you know, but you know, I've, as long as I've been DJing, like, I had to fight to get, you know, you got to fight to get that money out of these dudes before the party starts. But at the end of the night, if I find myself waiting for money with security, I'm like, oh, Lord.
Man, that's a problem.
Yeah, it's going to be a problem. Like, I already know.
I don't even do.
They're promoters that I've fallen out.
Yeah.
With, you know, one in particular, just sitting at the end of the night. I'm sitting there with security. Well,
since we mentioned the names.
He's not gonna do it.
Yeah, yeah. I try not to throw because you know this somebody that I was cool, fairly cool with the person. It's just that I just won't do no work for him no more. I don't have no bad blood, but after that night, I was like, yo, I'm not sitting here till 4 a.m. The party was over at 2. I didn't put my stuff in the car. The girls gone. The girl I was talking to all night done went home. Mm-hmm. And she gave me her number. By the time I get out of here, she's gonna be asleep.
It's over.
you know what I'm saying? You done ruined my night.
It's not going down.
Yeah.
But my thing is, you know, we got to get together. But you got to also, like, you're not respectful of my time. What if I got to get up at 8 o'clock?
Right, because you pay me from 10 to 2.
For sure.
Right.
So if I'm here waiting to get paid till 4, you owe me another 2 hours of pay.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, and the pay ain't much.
Yeah,
I can't do it, man. Not to sound cocky, but I get paid well to do what I do.
Yeah,
right. So
and you put in the time.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely put the work in. Yeah. I definitely paid the dues.
Right,
but it's crazy. They need to form a union or something.
Yeah.
Oh, that yeah.
Yeah, but you're right. We definitely should get paid up front. Some Absolutely. Clients I book for, like I book for a couple of guys mm-hmm. that are known in the industry to not pay the bill.
Right.
We don't move until the bill's paid.
Absolutely.
Like the manager will call me, and I'll be like, all right, cool. Here's the invoice. Go ahead and pay it.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead
because
and pay it.
Because I know if I can't provide, I'll send the money back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can't bank on this guy.
Right.
Like, you know, they don't, there's some guys don't pay. And they be like, yo, don't work for this guy. I be like, why y'all don't work for him? Get your money up front. They pay up front.
Absolutely.
Yep, they pay for everything else.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, question. When you assign to a client or whatever, does the client pay you or does the record label pay you?
Depending on the situation. So if you work for like a management company, then the record label will probably pay you. You know, sometimes, or... Sometimes they have like situations where like maybe they did a TV show where the record label had them come do something, and 9 times out of 10 they don't get paid for that, you mm-hmm. know. So in the rider or whatever it is, yeah, they pay the record label pay, and that takes a little time. Sometimes it takes
they got to cut the check.
Yeah,
you got to give them 30 days.
But you can kind of depend on that. Depend that's on official.
The, yeah, right. Record label. Yeah. Yeah, you ain't worried about that. But if so, that's how that works. But my client now, man, on time every week. I get.
How long you been with your current client?
A year and a month.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, you got a relationship.
Man, a joy to work for.
Okay.
Arguably the best client.
Ever.
Yes. Oh, wow. A joy.
Yeah.
I wish I could say it, but a joy.
Right. Have you had faced any legal ramifications for anything?
Mm-mm.
Nothing?
No. No, I cover all my bases, so.
Okay.
Insurance and all that, I take care of it. But I don't do crazy things, you know. So I try to see things before they happen.
Right.
If I notice somebody not going along with the music, mm-hmm. all right, there might be a situation. Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah. We don't get in no situations. You know,
okay.
I don't be around anything rough. If I see something rough, I'm like, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And my client be like, okay, let's go.
Right.
They listen. So. Yeah, I haven't had any situations.
And where are you from?
I'm from Green. Well, I was born in Detroit, okay. But I was raised in Greensboro. I spent kindergarten. I went to Bessemer. I don't know if y'all know that.
Yeah, Bessemer. Yeah.
And then I went to Madison in McLeansville. So I lived in McLeansville until the fifth grade. Mm-hmm. Went to Cone Elementary. Oh, okay. For fifth grade, then I went to ACOC. I don't know if they call it ACOC anymore, right?
ACOC. Yeah, that name has some ties to it. They may have changed it, but I'm not sure. But yeah.
So I went there, and then I went to the Dudley High School.
Dudley High School.
Okay.
The one and only.
Yeah.
You know that, though.
Yeah. Every city in North Carolina got a Dudley.
For sure. And I went there.
That's the black school, y'all.
Yeah. I was scared. They were, stories or whatever. And I got there, man. It was the best time.
Right.
You got to learn about yourself. As a matter of fact, when we went to college, it was three of us. My homeboy Jack, Travis, we went to Shaw. I went to Auntie.
Okay.
I stayed there for like a year and a half, and then I got into security.
It's dope, man. I've enjoyed this episode right here.
Yeah, this is very informative. You know what I'm saying? How long have we been on?
Got an hour and 20 with you.
Hey, that's really good.
Yeah,
that's
oh, man.
Flies right on by it on it.
I was so nervous. I told my wife, man, I don't know what I'm going
to
talk about.
Nah, ain't nothing to be nervous about. You know? Like, one of the things we hope to do, too, is provide this is your legacy right here. You know what I'm saying? Everybody who come through and talk, like whether you've ever done an interview or never done an interview.
Right.
For sure.
This will stand forever. You'll always have this. This is a documentation of your time.
For sure.
You know what I mean? So this is your episode. We talking to you and learning about what you do. And you teaching us stuff. Like we're not in the security business. Word. I'm a DJ. He's a cinematographer.
Yeah.
And we learning about just with everybody else that's listening. We learning, man. And you taught us a lot.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you coming through.
Yeah, and if you want to get the bodyguard game, man, just, I'm Big Gene the King on Instagram or Eugene Cunningham on Facebook. Look me up. And I'll talk to you, man. If I got something, I can, if you worth having around, I got you.
Right.
You know?
Hey, that's what's up, man.
I think that's at Carolina.
Yeah, we got to pass it down. Look back, always look back.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, none of us would be where we are without somebody
for sure
reaching out.
For sure, yes, shout out to T Love, Cortez Martin, and Sean Bonner for putting me in place. Man, it was a long, hard process, but it happened. Mm-hmm. I'm so lucky to do what I do. I love it, and I get to see the world. I get to travel. And I'm always trying to pay it back. So just holler at me.
Hey, that's what's up. Y'all shout this man out if you're trying to get down. Hey, with all that being said, this is the Capital City Podcast. I'm your host, Capital J, alongside my main man,
DL Glass.
And alongside my main man,
Eugene Cunningham.
Indeed. And we out of here. Go protect something.